This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on SportsRadio740.com.
Call Dixie and it's done. 262-2946. Hey, our good friend Brian Matthews, AuburnSports.com, joining us on our Dreamland Barbecue guest hotline here this morning. Brian, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Doing great, guys.
Starting off with basketball, Auburn dropped a little bit in the polls this week. The loss against Texas A&M evidently hurt more than a big road win against Georgia helped. Your thoughts on Auburn's position now as opposed to when we talked last week? How do you think they set up for maybe an NCAA bid?
Well, I think they're basically in the same position NCAA-wise. I mean, when the little pre-rankings or whatever I call them came out by the NCAA committee, Auburn was fifth overall, the top number two seed. And I think they've got a chance to move up a little or fall a little, depending how the season ends. But it seems like they've positioned themselves really, really well going into the stretch run.
And the stretch run begins tomorrow against Kentucky. It's interesting that Bruce Pearl brought out an appeal to Auburn fans to react positively when Tony Barbee comes in tomorrow for the Kentucky game. You covered Auburn during the Barbee era. What was the biggest millstone around his neck at Auburn? What was, when you think back on it now that Auburn is the program's doing so well, what are your thoughts back to Tony Barbee and why he was not successful?
I mean, a lot of reasons, to be honest. He didn't recruit very well.
No.
Didn't work very well. Was very, I don't know if rude's even the right word for it. He just wasn't a very nice person to a lot of people in that program. So I don't, you know, that's really nice of Bruce to say, but I don't know that many people that could find it in their hearts to cheer for him if he showed up at Auburn.
You know, I wonder, you know,
he's just not well liked.
Sure. And I guess the current students, I would be surprised if they even knew who Tony Barbee was.
True.
Yeah. Now Kentucky comes in. They're scrambling a little bit. And to me, the biggest issue, the biggest run-up to that game tomorrow night is the status and availability of Bryce Brown. Do you have an update, Brian?
Yeah, he did practice yesterday. It was a non-contact practice, but I saw him out there. He looked pretty good, pretty sharp, working with the first team. And Bruce said if he can go, I guess, today with more of a contact practice, he'll be clear for Kentucky. But I think they're pretty confident he's going to be ready to go or really close to being ready to go.
I'm not necessarily familiar with the nature of the injury. I heard that it happened, hurt his shoulder during a dunk. I never had that problem.
No, me either.
To be honest. is that correct? Is it a shoulder, and is that what happened?
Yeah, I think it was an attempted dunk. I think it was.
I've done that. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. We can definitely relate to that, right?
Exactly.
But, yeah, I think he just sort of sprained it and really sore for a couple of days there. But he's gotten a lot of treatment and rehab, and I think he's feeling much better now.
Auburn didn't match up well against Texas A&M, obviously, in the last home game, especially on the glass. Now they go to, or this weekend, they went to Georgia. Again, without Bryce Brown, that was as impressive a road win, I think, as Auburn's had in a long time. How did they pull it off against Georgia, especially out-rebounding to the way they did?
Well, I thought a couple of things. Number one, I thought Auburn just flat-out outplayed Georgia. I just thought they out-hustled them, out-defended them, just outplayed them. And, you know, it looked to me at times that Georgia was kind of going through the motions. And, you know, I thought Auburn's fans showed up loud and sort of took over the arena there, the Coliseum. And I think Auburn did what they've done all season, which is just play their tails off, play good defense, you know, out-rebound a team that's bigger than them, and hit some clutch shots. And they've been doing it all season long.
Brian, it's still surprises me. I was telling Barry, I heard a national radio show talking about Auburn and where they could possibly be seated and whatnot. And Bruce Pearl's future came up as well in that conversation. I know we've talked about it. It's obvious what they've done on the floor. Their record indicates it, and going to be a very high seed. But there still seems to be this cloud about him off the court, lack of communication with the staff. Is any indication that's improved? Any indication that his status for next year is any different from the last time we've talked?
I haven't gotten any indication either way. I think I said it before. I don't think there's any way that he's fired unless he has to be fired, unless he's committed some NCAA violations. The only way for Auburn to basically save his program is to fire him and the whole staff. And I have no reason to believe that that's happened. So I have not heard that. I think he's on fairly solid ground. I certainly don't want to go all the way and say he's fine because I don't know all the details of what they've uncovered in their investigation.
Brian Matthews, AuburnSports.com, on our Dreamland Barbecue guest hotline. Couple of football questions. Put into context the Auburn recruitment of the graduate transfer offensive lineman from Rice named Calvin Anderson. He can sign now anytime he wants. He hasn't signed, but he did visit Auburn. Where does that stand right now?
I would say Auburn is right there in the mix for him. You know, I think everybody sort of assumes he's going to Texas because he's from Austin. But I'm not so sure that's going to happen. That may be the case. But, he's looking at going somewhere for 7 months, competing against, great defensive linemen to make himself better and sort of honing his skills to get him to the next level and to get him a new experience. And also, I think academics are really, really important to him. I don't know how Auburn's graduate, what they offer compared to the other schools, but I think those are all factors he's going to take into account that may be more important than being close to home.
Had a good visit this past weekend, would you say, Brian?
Yeah, it sounds like it. It sounds like he had a really good visit. Spent a lot of time with Coach Malzahn, Coach J.P. Grimes, and it sounds like he was really impressed with Auburn. So he may visit a couple more schools, or he may have a decision. He had originally said he was going to wait till, I think, his birthday around March 25th or 26th, something like that. But I think he said after the Auburn visit, he's probably going to move that up and have a decision sooner than that.
And my last football question, a feature is out at AuburnSports.com. You addressed the Australian punter that Auburn signed. First of all, I want to get the proper pronunciation. Aaron Sipos?
I think it's Sipos. But I'm
Sipos. Yes. The Australian version.
Yeah. I got you. But interesting story there, Brian.
It really is. I mean, he's, the lowest ranked, quote-unquote, player in Auburn's class, but he may end up being, having the biggest impact of any of them as a true freshman this fall. And, I don't know that many people know it, but the last five, or last four who have won the last five Reagai Award winners, one of them won it twice, have come through Pro Kick Australia, which is sort of an organization that takes, these rugby, Australian rules football players and help them make a transition to playing American football. And they've come to college. They've gone to Texas and Utah and now Auburn. And those guys previously have won, five straight Reagai Awards. So, he's got a chance to make a really big impact at Auburn really soon.
No kidding.
Nice feature on that. Check it out at AuburnSports.com.
Brian, I was reading a report, some NFL news, and looking at some former players from around the league, and it caught my eye about Cam Petway. He has not been getting very stellar reviews. I remember one account had him as, quote, immature and unreliable. Did you sense that when he was at Auburn?
Maybe not that harsh, but, I felt like after what went down this past season that he certainly had some ground to make up as far as, convincing NFL teams that he's a legit guy that you can trust and depend on for certain. So he certainly didn't help himself this past season. So that's a process he's going to need to go through.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how his stock moves or falls in the NFL. Looks like it needs to go up from some of the stuff that I have seen on that. Well, Brian, a big game tomorrow night. Kentucky coming into the Auburn Arena. Should be a good one, to say the least. And I know you will be on top of it, as will everybody there at AuburnSports.com. How do our listeners become more involved with what you guys do?
Yeah, I mean, could you think of a better place to take your Valentine than Auburn?
Hey, no kidding.
That's exactly right.
Exactly. $2, $5 hot dogs, 2 for $5, I believe, on Valentine.
Yeah, you can check me out at AuburnSports.com, sign up online for a free trial, or follow me on Twitter at BMAT8U.
That's great stuff, Brian.